Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Urban Float, the premier flotation therapy spa in the Mid-Atlantic. Experience the ultimate in weightless relaxation as well as the healing benefits of 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. Call 302-232-3141 to book your first float or book online at urbanfloat.com. And use the code FIRSTTIME to get 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, revive at Urban Float. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's up, brother?
How are you?
Brothers.
Hello.
Brothers from stars. We're Stardust, right? We're Stardust brothers.
That's it, man.
Isn't it weird how we all start off as babies and then we just go on these crazy wild tangents and all look different as we grow up? Right.
Get big, start off the same.
Yeah, we all end up different. So what's going on, fellas?
How much? How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing great. Jonathan?
Doing well.
So you want to introduce yourself? I kind of introduced yourself, but
sure.
Who are we hanging with today?
Sure. So I'm Jonathan Clark with Reflections Auto Detailing, and now in Camden, Delaware.
Again, winner best auto detailing.
Yeah.
For 2019?
For 2018, and right now the votings are up for 2019, so don't forget to go on and vote.
Well, where if someone wanted to vote, where would they go vote?
SecondStreetApp.com is who's handling the voting for Delaware's best. So go to the card section, follow that down to the detailing section, Reflections Auto Detailing Camden.
I'm sure corporate's already gotten in your ear about a call to action card.
That's my nickname.
Jonathan, what is your call to action card?
I think that's the most asked question on this podcast. Who's corporate?
Yeah.
Because he says it about 100 times on the podcast.
Do you have a call to action card, Jonathan? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Did corporate not mention that yet? He flew a banner over my house the other day. Get your call to action card, Tom.
That's great.
Oh, bro.
I actually had a conversation with somebody about designing a call to action. And actually, as funny as that sounds, it makes a lot of sense. So, anyway. So, detailing.
Yeah.
Ferraris?
One or two.
Dude, I'm getting a Porsche.
Yeah. Bring it by.
You got a vision for it?
Yeah. I have a vision for all cars.
So you, and I've never met you, so nice to meet you.
You as well.
I love cars. Carlos and I both, we talked about this. We had a pre-meeting meeting, and we both said, we like cars. Let's have them on. And so, I mean, detailing cars, I mean, that's crazy, but there's a lot of beautiful cars out there.
Yeah.
People treat their cars better than they treat their vehicles, their
my
bodies.
My hand's raised.
Yeah. Mine's not, actually. I keep my car in a garage.
That's nice.
Yeah. Did you see my car?
I didn't.
It didn't catch your eye?
Oh, man.
You know why? Because freaking corporate's monstrosity was blocking me. Thanks for blocking my
car. It's parked underneath my car.
Could I have gotten like a high five or something on that car? But people do. They treat their cars better than they treat themselves.
Yep, I agree. Yeah,
and you're willing to help them out.
I can. Yeah, I mean that's the goal, right? There's a facet or a level of detailing for all people, right? And that's sort of I'm here to bridge that gap for them, whatever they need.
Well, and you know, nice cars used to be a privilege, right? I mean, we didn't all get nice cars,
right?
And life is like it is, and now we're more. You know, there was a time I barely could have a car, period, right. And now I'm able to lease. Let's be honest here. I'm leasing my car, but I also found that buying cars doesn't really work for me because at 3 years I get sick
tired of them.
I get tired of them. Yeah. And
I see the Raptor didn't make the front page.
Snap. These are the cars you detailed?
Oh, the Raptor was there.
These are the cars you detailed?
That's some of them.
Nice.
That's a short list of some higher end stuff.
But people are now accessible to nicer cars, and it's crazy, but we don't really take care of them, right?
Well, cars have gotten nicer, right? I mean, the reality is the finishes are nicer, the interiors are nicer, the quality of materials in cars now is nicer. I mean, and you pay for it, right? You go and you look at the price tag.
Or they tell you, do we really even know?
You have no idea, right?
Well, and I got, you know, on TV, I got into, it wasn't on TV, it was on YouTube. I got into following these guys that detail cars, and they use this one brand, and I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't remember the name of the brand. That's how great they are already.
Yeah.
But it was very, very, you know, they're measuring paint thickness. Mm-hmm. Do you have that tool that measures paint?
Thickness gauge meter? Absolutely.
Dude, when I was a kid, here we go, right? Corporate, here we go.
I'm listening.
So my dad, for his 50th birthday, bought himself a 1989 GTA Trans Am. Mm. That was the sweetest freaking car. And my dad was like, we're going to take care of this car.
Right.
So he bought a buffer.
Right.
He bought some chamois. And we buffed the shit out of that thing. I think we probably buffed all the paint off. In fact, he had to get it repainted.
Right.
That's a serious issue, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the tools in general have gotten nicer, right? Mm-hmm. So the technology from then is much different than it is now. Paints are different. Tools are different. And so it's a lot more of a user-friendly market, right? It's pretty easy for a guy to get into this industry now with very little experience and a pretty user-friendly tool. The problem is that the results are limited, right? So the better tools you have and time spent behind those tools, the better results you can get.
Right.
Well, you won't buff the paint off.
Right. Well, and I wasn't even really thinking about it like that. I'm thinking about how many of these guys are you like stressed out that they got their own buffer at home and, you know, going crazy? Because it always used to be we would detail my dad's car and then, you know, maybe every couple years we'd have a professional do it.
Right.
And then the professional's got to deal with all of the buffing and waxing and vacuuming and all the stuff that we've been doing. And then you're expected to like pull something out of look at that.
It's a McLaren.
Oh, my boy Sam, he's out there right now. He loves McLarens.
Yeah. Oh man!
But then you have to kind of deal with the what's left, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And that's I'd never even seen a tool, and I don't even did you even know that there's a tool that measures the paint on a car, corporate?
No, I never knew that.
There is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there that's is. Because these guys are like, we need to check the level of the paint. We need to check the thickness. We want to know how much wax we're going to use or cleanser or buffer.
It tells us how much we can take away.
Yeah.
Right. How much is there? How much can we take away? Can we afford to take anything away at all? And then we can make an assessment from a cutting standpoint on how much are we willing to do or should we do a certain thing to a car.
Do you ever get to a point where you're like, I can't buff this?
Often.
Do you?
Yeah, because a lot of cars go to dealerships who are training guys on the old technology, the high-speed rotary buffers and things, and they can you can do a lot more damage. You take away a lot more than you need to. So if you can measure what you can take away, I mean, you're measuring microns and you're taking away in microns, so there's not a lot of give there.
Right.
And so it's just good to know what it is, what your approach is, right? Least aggressive method first, then move on to the different steps.
I'm always amazed on how this is strange, but you know, when I was a kid, we had our car. You know, you could roll down the window, you could have your arm out the window. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so such a disturbance inside the vehicle. You know, there was so many different things: the square corners, the less aerodynamics. You know, it broke the wind up a little better. It was a more casual ride.
Right.
Now you open a window, it's like your brain's coming out. You just can't ride down the road anymore with your windows down. It's just too disruptive. But I don't think people realize how abrasive air is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see it like you'll see like these patterns on these where, you know, an older car, you can see how the air is just basically worn away the paint.
Sure. Well, dust particles and stuff off the road is in that air, right?
Right.
You're traveling 60, 70 miles an hour and you're doing a light sandblasting treatment.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening.
But people like, how come there's patches of missing paint on the roof? I go, that's where the that's the airflow.
You're getting all kinds of damage, right? Airflow and UV damage and all kinds of things on surfaces that are unprotected. That's why protected paint is essential, right? If you have paint, you should protect it.
Well, that was my bridge right there, bro.
There it is.
You picked it right up because I was going to ask you about this ceramic treatment.
Sure.
Do you have that on your car?
Ceramic? I need it.
Yeah.
You do need it.
There's a guy I know.
Is there an Urban Float discount?
Yeah.
When we're booking our next ceramic treatment, just use Urban Float. Uh-oh. Is that the TV? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, tell it. I'm excited because when he was telling me about this, I'm like, I can't wait to hear about this.
So ceramic coatings are really new technology to, I would think, us in the U.S. more than overseas, right? This technology is not new for really anywhere overseas, right? This technology has been around 10 years longer there than here.
Those folks overseas, they love their cars.
They're a little more advanced than we are there. So, we're even gaining their passion.
They probably started drifting there.
Which is awesome, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So ceramic coatings are a permanent form of protection, right? You can apply it to any clear-coated surface. Now there's all kinds. It started as clear coat protection. Now there's metal protections and plastic protections and glass protections. And so it's new technology, but it, in my opinion, what it's done is it's bridged the gap between what we have now as water-based paints versus what you mentioned earlier, before in the 60s, where you would have had oil-based lacquer paints, which were much harder, and those paints didn't need quite the same amount of protection as paints do today.
Well, and that's also, paints aren't as strong and as vivid and as blacks and as reds right. and as great as they used to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lacquer paints were much harder than water-based paints, obviously, and they also created a different sort of depth because of the richness of the oil-based paints versus paints now, which are very thinly applied. I mean, if you measure an older car and you measure a newer car, you can see the difference in microns is
I think that's probably across the board in the whole paint world, right? Mm-hmm. House paint, car paint. It's yep. like it all kind of is.
Yeah.
It's multiple coats.
Yep, I agree.
No single coat paint. That's
right. Not anymore. No. A few companies still get away with it, right? Toyota is one of those companies who still does a single stage white as an option. And
I think Tesla is you buy everything other than white or black is an option.
It's an option. Right. And it's an upcharge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About Toyota, they what?
So Toyota still, at least up until their most recent models, I just did a new one the other day. They optioned for no clear coat. And so the car had no clear coat. It was just a single stage white. So single stage paint is what you would have grown up with, where you had to buff it to get it to shine. And mm-hmm. once the Carnauba wore away, there was no shine left in the car.
So the customer can opt out of clear coat?
For that specific color, they could.
For the Supra?
I wonder, would they do that if they were going to maybe, like, skin it or something?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people do that now.
Yeah.
It's pouring.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's certainly more cost effective, right, if you opt out of a $2,500 option to put you into a car. Again, you can't protect it other than buffing the car to make it shine. Then you got to put wax on it or whatever your form of protection is. Ceramic coatings are not good for single-stage-based paint, so they have no clear coat to bond to.
They're not good.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow. No, they're no good for them. They just don't. They don't have anything to bond to.
Right.
So the clear coat really is what it needs to bond.
It's funny. Someone's too cheap to buy a clear coat, but they're going to get the treatment put on afterward.
Sure. Yeah.
That's like something I would do.
All right.
Hey, calm down. Settle down. You said you were just going to come here and sit here quietly.
I didn't say a word.
You didn't. Oh, that's our laugh track.
That's awesome.
It's the way I laugh, apparently.
It reads high on the meter, bro. It doesn't. The meter doesn't lie. Well, so that's awesome. So, but I'm assuming because the pictures that I'm seeing here are like Ferraris, Porsches. I mean, are these something that you would really stick to, like high-end cars, or?
Yeah, so there's a market for everyone. That's right. The benefit. So I actually do more daily driver cars than I do high-end cars with ceramic coatings. I don't know the thought process behind it. I just know that's what I apply most on. So I do fewer Ferraris than I do Toyota Camrys.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, I think my car is high-end for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, high-end is just, you know.
You have a nice car, Tom.
It's Tom, what's your car?
I have an Acura.
Oh, yeah. You have a nice car.
Yeah, it's a great car.
That's a ceramic coating car, worthy car.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you, dog. Yeah. Well, I'm about right on. I'm already like, I don't like this radio. Right. This Bluetooth is just not connecting correctly. I'm already
not
like
fast enough.
Yeah, I'm already picking it apart a little bit. Right. Well, and I'm not into speed, Carlos. Mine has a dynamic mode switch. You familiar with that thing? No. Yeah, it always puts you in econ mode.
Oh, great.
And I have to switch it out to either normal or high-end or paddles.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not into speed. I'm into looks. And then I tint the window so you can't see who's in it. What's the matter with me?
Aston Martin.
Yeah. So I've also, do you do like clear coating too? That thin layer, that plastic?
Oh, the paint protection film.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't do paint protection film. That's something we've subbed out for many, many years.
Do you like
companies.
That?
I think it's the best form of protection available.
I'm glad I'm asked.
Yeah, so paint protection film is the best for impact resistance, right? Ceramic coatings are for something totally different, right? Ceramic coatings are for ease of cleaning, scratch resistance, high gloss and shine. Those are things that paint protection film doesn't offer.
Right.
Paint protection film is good for a person who is looking to keep down rock chips and road abrasion, things like that. You mentioned the wind, those types of things, right? That's what paint protection film is for. There's a significant cost difference, right? And so...
What my question was going to be is, do people ever do like a ceramic treatment just on the front or just on like more high-end areas, or is it just... Because I don't know anything about it, so I'm just trying to learn.
That's the way the film would typically be applied.
So exactly.
You would typically put the film on the front bumper or lower rockers, just areas you're going to touch a lot on the car or areas on the car that are going to receive a lot of impact. Ceramic coatings are, they take your normal ability to clean a car, what might take you an hour, and they help you to cut that down to 15 or 20 minutes in washing the car without having to continue to apply carnauba waxes and sealants on top. The maintenance becomes very, very easy. The car always keeps a like-new condition, where the film is really for impact resistance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and the reason I use the film as the example, just more like specifically treating a certain area. You know, what the ceramic stuff sounds like, it sounds like a Brazilian blowout. I do this on hair. You know, we treat hair. It's a protein. Yep. We fill all the nooks and crannies. I bake it in. And then people go from blow drying their hair for taking an hour to 15 minutes because it's not allowing the water to soak in.
Right.
And as you know, it's as paint looks dry, it's porous.
Mm-hmm.
It holds water.
Right.
It's not as dry and hard as it appears.
Right. Exactly.
So you're filling in the nooks and crannies and cutting down your drying time.
That's it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a Brazilian blowout for cars.
The Brazilian blowout for cars. The super hydrophobic effect will keep water on the surface rather than sheeting away. It beads up.
Right? Yeah, I have it on my truck. He's absolutely... John's right. Jonathan is right, Tom. It takes half the time to wash my truck now. I mean, it's beading constantly. So you're basically rinsing it off and drying it, putting a little bit of maintenance product on it just to kind of keep the shine, and that's it. That's what's awesome about it.
I love it.
Yeah.
We have to negotiate.
I'll give you the Urban Float discount.
Hey, 50% off. I love it. He's like, did it? 50% off. We were mentioning that last night. One person, get that damn deal. Make us happy.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that's how I met Jonathan, Tom, as I was researching ways to protect the paint on my truck. And I actually was looking at all these other places, and then I saw this mystery glass coating Modesta product, and Jonathan was one of the few guys I think along the East Coast that actually does it, and I never looked back. And then I did some research, a couple of car forums, and the finish was like, it's glass, it's like mirror, it's a mirror, dude, it's a mirror, like straight ahead mirror. You can like get ready for a wedding in front of your car.
Nice.
I mean, that's how
no more weddings.
Deep that shine is. It's absolutely crazy.
Will you buy a car other than the color black?
Yeah, I mean, I do like black.
Yeah.
But I know, but it's...
I went...
That's also part of why I went with Reflections is because it helped lower that, because you have to clean a black car a lot to keep it shiny.
Well, I've gone gun barrel gray, and then I did this silver with this like a light purple in it. Which was really, it was an awesome car, but this time I'm like, just go black.
You go black, yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
You got to keep it in the garage. But yeah. I love, my Porsche is going to be black.
I like the flat, the paints that are kind of coming out, Jonathan, like those flat primer looking paints.
So the frozen paints.
Yeah.
You know, the M5?
Yeah.
That's like
BMW offers a frozen
paint. On the M5?
Mercedes also offers a frozen paint. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
those are...
They're like in style now, huh?
Yeah, they're fantastic. I mean, that's the new thing, right? Frozen paint. And if you don't have it, you can add satin paint protection film and make it look frozen.
Right.
So you have options if you can't... If it's not offered or you don't want to repaint your whole car...
Right.
The paint protection film in satin can do that for you.
Right.
Porsche has a nice frozen silver.
Yes, they do.
The new 911.
Nardo gray BMW. Mm. Love that color. Man.
That's a very popular color now. I see it a lot.
Oh my
Nardo
gosh.
Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first the first year the Raptor came out, they offered a similar type of color, and it was called Avalanche Gray, It was, but my son talked me out of it and getting that color. Dad, you got to get black, man. Dad, that's got to get black.
How do you like that truck?
They're love
sweet,
it.
Aren't they?
Oh my god, I love that truck.
Is it how's the handle on the beach?
It's awesome.
Yeah,
they call it the magic carpet ride. You don't even feel it, man. You go 55 miles an hour on the beach, you just don't feel it.
Ryan has one of those as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ryan does. So does Scott.
Yep. There's been three of those at this podcast joint. All different colors.
Came up in the wrong car then.
Well,
it's a nice truck for sure.
It's a beautiful truck. We passed you actually yesterday. I recognized you have that rack in the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go, I think that's Carlos.
I have a little, I'm under, Jonathan was supposed to service and do a maintenance clean on my truck, and in the parking lot of Urban Float, they resealed the parking lot, and it was really windy, and our truck, all of our cars are parked out there, so the sealant, the asphalt sealant was flying everywhere, and it peppered all of our cars, including my truck.
Dude, and I would have been livid.
I know, and at the time, I was really upset, and I was going to whatever, but of course, life got in the way, got busy. And I usually like to see Jonathan, reflections, a couple times a year at least, just to do a maintenance, him to evaluate the coating and everything. And then I was like, oh man, and it's like
Jonathan's going to be upset at me.
It's like sandpaper, man. But he has a technique to get that off, man. Because I was reading on the internet, guys were like repainting their cars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It can be really damaging, right? And so that's the problem is, without proper protection. You're fully exposed.
Because Modesta helped me then.
Yeah. So in this case, you have the ceramic coating on. So the ceramic coating is chemical resistant. So the chemicals that are on the truck don't penetrate the surface, and I can clean them off the surface without damaging the coating, and you're in like new condition again.
So it was a good investment.
Yeah. I mean, I was mad. Definitely mad. I mean, there were some nice cars in the parking lot at Urban Flow. I mean, Maxine's got a nice car. I mean, I'm like, these guys are blowing this asphalt everywhere. The sealant and we'll talk about it because I'm gonna get angry.
Because I'm about to
have them roll about the future. List.
I know, man. But luckily, I was reading on the forums, the detailing forums, and these guys were all going through like, just have to use gasoline and WD-40, and I'm like, oh gosh, I better call Jonathan. And I forgot to tell him about it, obviously. And I was like, oh, Jonathan, I got a confession to make.
You didn't do it.
I didn't do it, but still, I'm like, man.
So, Jonathan, let's say, I'm thinking about it. I'm interested.
Sure.
What do I call you?
We
take a look at my car. We have a chit-chat.
Yeah. So I need to see the condition of the car.
Right.
Ceramic coatings can be applied really to any surface, but there's always a prep stage, right? If the paint isn't prepped properly, coating doesn't stick, right. So it needs to be completely decontaminated. It basically needs to be any protection that's on the car needs to be removed, and the paint needs to be fresh. I mean, it needs to be no protection, just bare clear coat.
And that's when you're checking the thickness of the paint, assuming.
So if I find damage in the car, swirl marks, light scratches, things like that, those things need to be removed, because whatever the result or whatever the final result of the paint is, that's what I'm locking in with the ceramic coating. So if I can measure the paint, see what kind of damage is there, know how much I need to take out, I can prep the surface properly and then lock those results in. And then I infrared cure it in the end. So a lot like when you get a car repainted, you're not supposed to wax the car for 30 to 45 days or whatever the case is. The infrared curing will force the coating to 90% cure. So when you pick up your car, it's able to be driven and used as normal within 3 days, you can wash the car again. But it's fully cured, so you're able to continue to use your car just like you normally would.
That's pretty sweet. And then, so let's say we determine that it's my car is a candidate. I drop it off. I mean, what's the process? How many days? How long am I not going to have my car?
Yeah, so typically it's 3 days. It's 3 days minimum. And that's for a car that's in good condition that doesn't need a lot of prep work from my end. But if there's more prep work needed, lots of swirl marks, lots of scratches, things that need to be removed, what I would call leveling the paint, That is more time. It's more time for me. It's more time on the back end. So typically, a car that's in bad condition can be done in 5 days, where a car that's in fairly good condition takes about 3 days.
Now, I mean, let's say. So I'm assuming that if you're going to get this done to your car, you're pretty much going to get your car detailed.
Correct.
So inside out, can we just get it outside detailed, or do we need to go? Is this part of a? There are options.
So
optional packages.
Yeah, there's a lot of packages, right? And there's a lot of options, even with the ceramic coating. So what we typically do for our clients who select the ceramic coating, it's a big investment into the car, and so we do a mandatory detail of the engine bay, the outside, and then of course the inside as well. So we make it a full package now.
Right.
If you're not looking for that form of protection, I have a lot of services, right? Everything that I've built out, you can find on my website. Has been...
What's it you want to say?
Sure. It's reflectionsautodetailing.net.
.net, yep. Okay.
And so you can go on and you can find... I've got different subcategories, interior detailing, exterior detailing. And in those categories, package detailing, in those categories, you can find... I've built them out based on my experience in the industry, saying typically a car in this condition is going to need this level of service. So you can go in and read a description of what I've written about what may fit your car.
Right.
And then that should guide you into the package that you need. And so that's always helpful, because typically people can go on my website, find the package that they need, find the price based on the size of their vehicle for that package, and book an appointment right online. And in many cases, never even have to talk to me.
Right.
And then we do an assessment when the vehicle's dropped off. That way I can say, hey, you picked a package that was maybe too much, or you picked a package that was not enough. And so what we're going to do in this package won't remove this type of damage, and maybe we need to go to the next package up, or we can step back from the package and say, hey, that's way too much for what you have here.
Well, and I'm sure that you always run into the person, like, you know, if I can, you know, compare examples, mm-hmm. I always have somebody that wants to color their own hair and then have me do the highlights.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is fine. That works in my business, but I bet there's the guy that, you know, he's going to detail it. He's going to get it right for you.
Yep. Correct.
And then you got to do, you know, what you do. And I'm sure that at some point you're probably two steps backwards.
Correct. Yeah. So sometimes it's not helpful to bring it to me in the I've tried to do this myself condition.
I got it all cleaned for you, bro.
Right. Yeah.
Just do the glass coating.
Just do the glass coating and everything else is good.
Yeah. I get that a lot. You'd be shocked. But yeah, I mean, it's not, because oftentimes what I find is, because of a lack of knowledge or... sometimes, God forbid, they've gone on the internet and the internet world has coached them into detailing their car properly, improperly, very improperly. I have to go back and remove sometimes lots of damage that's been done, especially in the exterior of a car. It's really easy to damage paint. The interior, I get a lot of people who are really good interior detailers. And by the way, I'd like to hire some of those people to take over those interior jobs, because they're very, very good at it.
But are you looking for...
Oh yeah, I'm always looking for I'm always looking for good help.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So
we all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except corporate, he's got it all up.
He's got it under control.
He's got it fixed out.
We need no tips and tricks.
So basically what we're saying is, listen, if you're thinking about having this as a service, leave it up to you to take care of all of it.
Yep.
Because and if I don't I'm not Do we should we talk about the price? I mean, we don't need to discuss the price. I'm assuming it's probably a pretty decent investment.
And it's all online.
Yeah,
right?
So
it's fully disclosed. If you go to the website, you can price out your package, and I'll just make sure when you come to me that it's the right package that you've picked. So the start is to pick an exterior package for prep. You can assess your vehicle. You can look in the sun. You can check and see if you have swirl marks and damage that needs to be removed. One place the internet is really helpful is in helping you assess damage. Lots of people on the internet have lots of videos on YouTube or the forums, and they can help you to assess the types of damage that you have. Mm-hmm. It's always best if you just bring it to me, because I can take a look at it and say, hey, this is the package you need in order to get you as close to 100% as possible before we lock that result in. I don't do self-prep. I don't allow people to self-prep and then bring it to me for coding. And I don't, I won't under-prep a car, because the result that's final is the result that name is on it.
It sounds like, you know, if there's swirl marks, they're going to be swirl marks under the ceramic coating. It's basically, so you want to have...
Yeah, it's optically clear. So you're going to see through the coating to the paint, and whatever damage is there, that's what you're going to see. So if you're not removing them, that's what you're locking in for the... for the duration of the coating that you choose. Not all coatings, they are all permanent in makeup, but they're worn away through mechanical abrasion. So there's different coatings, 3-year coatings, all the way up to 10-year coatings. As long as you're not using different, as long as you're not overusing the vehicle for the coating that you have, it should last the duration of the coating that you choose.
So if, and you know, maybe it's just me that thinks like this, but does this increase the value of the car?
So Carfax actually does include it.
Okay.
And so if you go on to and you do a Carfax, there's a section now where they actually will assess protection for your car. And
so do you give out like a certificate or something that shows that your car has been...
Yeah, so there's... I just send out follow-up emails. Hey. And, right, yeah, with the car. Yeah, typically it's online.
In front of the studio, hey, facing the glass.
Right. This is me in your car.
This is me in your car.
Day two. Right. This is me laying on the glass.
Yeah, so there's follow-up materials and things that you receive to say, hey, this is a level of protection that I've gotten. I always keep a record of my clients. I keep a record of my clients for the last 10 years that I've been doing ceramic coating. So once a client's phased out of that, then it's no good anymore. If you sell your vehicle, your warranty goes on to the next client. And so,
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so it's transferable. So
I think I lost my letter, Jonathan. You need a new one.
I'll send it. Don't worry. But it's available, right? I keep a record of it for that specific purpose.
The title or the entitlement? The title. Well, that's actually good to know because, you know, I mean, some numbers are going by, and you know, as I think maybe that obviously looks maybe a little bit expensive, but really what you're providing is protection to a car. And
10 years of protection, bro.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, what's that breakdown to a day? It's a cup of coffee.
Right? $1?
I fell for that one already this year. I haven't bought a coffee yet. I'm like, I'm going to get this money back. But that, I mean, you know, so.
It's an investment.
Yeah, it's a great investment. Sure. But you're also, you know, if someone was to turn over and sell the car,
right,
and I was to buy a car, I would probably be more likely to buy a car with this on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's be honest, you're dealing with some high-end cars.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
like
a lot
my
of cars.
Car. Yeah,
you're not dealing with the Arcanos of the world.
And you get that truck every once in a while, a pickup truck.
Hey, I you know, I get a lot of those too. I mean, the reality is, while the coating is expensive, the average price of cars has gone up substantially.
Sure, right.
Right. So you're no longer protecting a car that's $18,000.
Nope.
You're now protecting a car that's $35,000.
Yep.
On up, right? Most trucks that I do, the average cost of the trucks that come in are between $75,000 and $90,000.
Jeez.
Pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And so these are the kind of
vehicles. Not a bit of dirt in them. I want to ask, anybody know how many people buy the new Chevy with the tailgate that lifts up?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'd skip on that option. I'd be like, that's too much.
Too cheap. Serve me a cup of coffee.
Well, and you know, we're also in a, you know, and Carlos would know more about this. I mean, I've had trucks. I've had a Jeep Wrangler. I mean, or not Jeep. I had a Grand Cherokee. And they've all been out on the beach. Mm-hmm. I mean,
sure.
Beach, weather, salt air, sand. It's an epidemic. We got a situation here. Yeah, it ruined my Harley. I mean, I lost $2,000 to that freaking salt air pitted my wheels.
All
I'm like, dude, this is, there's nothing wrong with those wheels. He goes, give me $2,000 off. I was like,
I mean, done deal.
Can you do other things? Like if I bought a brand new Harley,
mm-hmm.
can you treat my wheels?
Yeah, absolutely.
Will it protect them?
Yep.
From that pitting?
Have you done cycles? I guess you have. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done quite a few. Mostly I get
that's a selling point right
tons
there.
Tons of street glides, right? That's probably the most popular truck.
Oh my God, Craig Kimmy's here and he's going to, and now you want to fix the blocks. Yeah. Can you give me a few minutes? Okay, come back tomorrow. I'll be here all day. All right, brother. See you. That was the maintenance man. He's moving that microphone. We should have just had him done it. Oh well.
Just walk behind him.
That's really good to know because, dude, Harley wheels get pitted up.
Yeah.
So and
lots of chrome. Chrome is a chrome is hard to maintain.
Does this work on chrome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the way chrome is done, there is a finish that it can bond to, so it will.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Dude, Jonathan takes your wheels off your car and does both sides of the rims. Dude, that's intense, man.
That's like a mother.
Yeah, man. That's
you're like a mom of cars.
Yeah, man. He
and then he puts them under a nice warm
what's
light.
What's fascinating too, when the paint correction that he's like, it's one thing I wanted to ask you, Jonathan, out of all the manufacturers that you've seen, you know, and it was a learning experience for me to see how you were able to notice the imbalance of the paint on sure. some of these automobiles. What manufacturers are better than others sure. when it comes to paint so, when coming out of the factory?
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
If I were to guide people in the direction of paint, right?
Yeah, just for paint, yeah.
Toyota's, Honda's, Subaru, softest paint available on the market by far.
Is that a cost savings for them?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Is that good or bad?
It's bad.
Okay.
Because they're more susceptible to damage. Fixing damage is harder because the paint is
even
softer.
With the clear coat on it
yeah.
and everything?
Yeah, yeah, even with the clear coat. And then, so I ceramic coat a lot of those vehicles because when you touch them, they scratch. When you touch them, they micromar, right? You get all mm-hmm. this damage just by looking at the vehicle, right? And it's damaged.
So you ratted off of like three Japanese...
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So that ends up being a problem. Volkswagen, incredibly hard paint. BMW often has hard paint. Mercedes has hard paint. And that's not including some of the higher end stuff, right?
Ferrari. What about Acura?
Acura's Honda, so that's...
is that bad?
That's bad.
Jonathan!
She's soft. Sorry.
She's soft.
She's soft.
I never heard that. So I can't even say that's what she said. That's not even a... That's, if you said he's soft, okay, now that's what she said.
So, yeah, even the higher-end Japanese cars still suffer the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they suffer the same. Unless they create a special paint line for it, they're basically all using the same paints. And so... it's pretty easy to tell when you buff a car how soft they are. And because I've done so many out of so many different types of manufacturers, there's almost, I can't think of a manufacturer I haven't done. And so I've experienced a little bit of each manufacturer's paint and what it takes to correct them. And those are by far the worst.
What about Ford?
Ford is what I consider to be average paint.
Average.
It's average.
Man, she's soft, bro.
So, like, I had my truck for, like, my Ford truck for, like, not even 6 weeks. Took it to Jonathan, and he was pointing out all the blemishes from the factory. And you could actually see him that you would never see in a dealer. You would never even see him. In his shop, I was like, I actually started... I want to return my truck.
I'm upset now, man.
Like, he's like, oh, yeah, look at this. Look at the way they painted right here. I'm like, I never would have noticed.
Jonathan,
it,
I do the same thing with clients and old hairs. You know, they come in there. Look what your hairdresser did. That's really dropped the ball here. Oh, it's bad job.
Here's how, man, I can help you. Let me help you here. Right.
It's fascinating to me. I don't know.
Can I ask a funny question? We used to own a Nissan Sentra. Or no, an Altima.
Okay.
I swear to God, that thing had the thinnest sheet metal on the car. Every tap would create a dent. Yeah. Exactly. It would just, there'd be like a dent in it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed that always on Nissans. Am I onto something here? Have I noticed?
I own a Nissan. It does the exact same thing.
You get dents?
All the time.
I mean, wind dents.
Yeah. Well, I think Japanese cars are like that anyway. I think they're soda cans.
No, I mean, if there is something about Nissan. I don't know if it was just in the Altimas. I don't know. But they used some thin sheet metal because look at all the Altimas and Nissans. They all have like little car dents. You know, if I open a car, hits my door, I don't appreciate
you don't,
it.
You
but
don't
there's
get a dimple.
I'm not getting a dimple.
Yeah, but you lean on a Nissan, it's dink. Right. You came right in.
Gotta go.
Crushed your fender. Sorry. Yeah.
Jonathan, will your protection solve that problem?
It will not solve that problem. Sorry.
I was about to
invest.
Do
you do like door dings now?
So I have a paintless dent repair guy.
Okay.
So if I don't do it, I got a guy for it.
You got a guy
for
it. Yeah.
Wait. What was that called?
Paintless dent repair.
I'm about to PDR that thing. PDR.
That's right.
You got to go acronym. Is that what they call it?
That is actually what it's called.
Yep. A PDR.
That's right.
God, I'm smart.
Yep. Mm. I knew it.
Well, man, we love cars. And I work every day because one day I want to own a used Porsche.
Used Porsche. Stop. Certified for you.
That's right. Cobalt frozen gray. Maybe slightly dented. But I want one. Right. But you know what? If I ever get that, and I probably will never, because when it comes to really handing over the money, I'll be like,
Tom, I'm not doing it.
Nah. Well, you're going through the same thing. I already have buyer's remorse and I haven't even bought it. I'm not sure I deserve it, quite honestly. But listen.
Yeah, you do.
If I was to do that, that would be, I would take care of that car.
Oh, yeah. Wiping it with a diaper.
Yeah. The next car I get, it won't be a Porsche because three kids can't fit in it. But I do like a Tesla.
Ooh.
Sure.
Talk to us about the Tesla, my man. Tell us how amazing they are.
So Teslas are great cars.
Amazing.
From a paint perspective, Tesla was atrocious when it first came out.
Yes.
Those were some of the most heavily damaged cars I did. They would come. They would have sanding marks still in them from the factory.
Doors not even lining up right.
There's trim pieces that are off. There's mirrors.
They're like $100,000, right, those cars?
Yeah, so the Model S came out, and it was base model was $75,000.
Can you imagine?
Plus or minus a couple of grand.
Doors not aligned. You paid $75,000 for a car. You're
I love it.
And there's paint swirls all over it. And John's
Did you see
how
big the screen was, though? That's huge. That screen's big, right?
They're
huge. Forget all that other
and
stuff.
And they're awesome. So if you've never driven one, I encourage you to drive one.
Soft paint? Hard paint?
Soft paint.
Yeah,
Tesla's soft paint. The Model 3s right now. So what happens with Tesla? Every time I see one, the Model S came out. They came out of the factory. They rushed them through. The paint was really bad. The Model 3 did the same thing. The Model X's were actually handled pretty well. So those were good cars from a paint perspective.
They were $120,000.
Correct.
Oh, well, yeah. Did you ever notice that? You know, they have the S, they have the 3, they have the X, and they have the Y. Do you know what that spells? Sexy.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Oh yeah.
And I for and a long are. Time oh, thought
is that on purpose? You think?
Of course it's on purpose. I'm the only one that noticed it until I was at the boardwalk and this guy had a Tesla shirt that said sexy and I go, I knew it. I was like, how did I look? I knew it. No one seemed to put that together, but yeah, it spells sexy.
Right.
But I was talking to another friend of mine who does tenting. He's a tenter. Yep. And he's like, you can't. They're not good cars to tent.
They're not.
That's a problem.
They're not good cars to tent.
I like tent, too.
The rear especially, because the glass is like huge in the Model 3.
Well, and isn't it? He said it's almost like an acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
It's an acrylic.
What's an acrylic? The glass?
Well, that sunroof. I think the sunroof is not like regular glass. It's Tesla glass.
It's Tesla glass.
It's from space. Oh,
yeah. It's different.
So that might be something to think about. Maybe I won't get a Tesla either. Well, a lot of Teslas out now. Now
they're
I've got
so
a...
Nice.
They're so nice, but why is it, Jonathan, why is it that we love the cars that are so expensive?
Good question.
Uh-oh. What's up, bro?
I do my iPad.
Yeah, where is it? Look in the bag. My son Sam's here.
If we're dreaming, John, that's what you're going to be seeing soon, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That Nardo gray.
Oh, yeah. M5?
Yeah.
I'm
not kidding. But I'm just saying, if we're dreaming.
You should definitely get it. Then come pick me up.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you, the fastest car I ever rode in was Bashar Alou's M5. And he burned the wheels from that big gray rock right there to probably the entrance of Cave Neck Road.
Don't you even... I mean, look at that thing, man. That thing is just a beast.
I know. God. It is. What are you going to do with that?
Just look at it.
At least it fits in the garage.
Right.
Right.
I can't fit my truck in the garage. It's shameful, isn't it?
It is a shame. I mean, listen, you know what? Is that all-wheel drive?
It's all-wheel and two-wheel, so you can shift between the two.
That was a big change because I had a truck. I used to have an F-250. I had a Grand Cherokee because of the four-wheel. You know, we don't necessarily need four-wheel drive here, but when we do, it's bad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I like to have a four-wheel drive. And then I'm like, I'm over trucks. So I bought I started with the TL and then the TLX. All three of them, they were all the super handling all-wheel drive. They do amazing in the snow.
Yeah.
So my car, whatever car I have to have, has to be all-wheel drive.
Is your Acura all-wheel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And it's sweet.
Yeah, that's recent to the M5 because of the fact they were only West Coast cars because there was no snow out there. So now they, apparently over the past, I don't know how many years, they added the all-wheel drive system. Yeah.
But when you pull up next to a guy in a Ferrari, don't you think, dude, really, where are you driving that thing? It's for looks, right?
Local. Oh, my gosh.
Always local.
Yeah, I mean, never it's long just distance. Never long distance.
That Jonathan, do you know how to put an M5 logo badge on a regular BMW? Is this a side
gig? I can slap it right on. No problem.
Okay, we've just solved your problem, Carlos.
Oh, my gosh. The thing is awesome, man. That's the thing. That thing is going to come from the dealer lot straight to Reflections Auto Detailing, man.
Oh, man.
What's your favorite car to detail, to work on?
Well, it's a good question. I have a lot of favorite cars. I'm a classic car guy.
Okay.
So if I had my choice...
yeah, I've noticed that. You're vintage.
I like vintage cars.
So tell me about that paint. What's up?
I was going to say, what was that paint made of?
Yeah.
Vintage asbestos.
It might kill you every time you buff it. Yeah, man, if I had a dream car, I'd get a 50s F-100.
50s? So my dad just sold his 1948 Ford.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was sweet, and he kept it in the It could have been sweet. It needed some work.
Yeah.
It was in trouble.
Yeah.
And my dad's 80. He's like, I could have worked on that. I said, no, you can't. Yeah. And he actually sold it to the people that built the track up in Dover. Mm-hmm. Who is that? You're like,
I don't know. Don't ask me.
I'm working on cars, man.
They're big. But they're apparently, they like restoring these old Fords and these. So it's got a good home. Yeah.
For nostalgia, I'd take, we had a 69 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, not a 442, which would be a nice option, but a Cutlass Supreme.
Have you ever driven, I know I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but those cars were just so nice to ride around in, right?
You
roll down the window, it wasn't like a hurricane.
Ship, right?
Yeah. Well, I had an 88 Cutlass Supreme, white, the leather roof.
Yeah.
It was so sweet, man. Yeah. And you could roll the window down and you could drive around. It wasn't. Right. Now you roll the window down, you almost get sucked out. Oh, one of our kids got sucked out the window. Like, it's disturbing. So, an old car is your favorite. Worst car you will. When you see it pull in, do you run to the back and flip the clothes on?
Black Acuras.
No. I can honestly say I enjoy every car a little bit. You know, it's a. They're not mine, so it's like a kid you can give back if you don't like it.
A new challenge.
Yeah, do you remember that? Get them a couple of days and give them back.
Do you remember that episode of Seinfeld where the guy, he dropped off his Volvo and he's like, he doesn't take care of you like I would. And he's like, I need to pick up my car. And he goes, it's not ready. And he chased him through the woods and down the highway because he felt like he treated his car better than Jerry did. Do you ever feel that? You ever get in there and you go?
There's some times I send them out and go, this is going to look just like it did in about 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's fine because it's not my car.
It's weird how that is. I mean, and I love my car and I appreciate it. But sometimes I let it turn into a shithole. And I'm like, what happened?
Right.
You know what? I'll share this little quick story. I put a... I don't want a truck. I don't want an SUV. I don't want all that. I want to have a car. So I took my surf rod and, weaved it between the front seats. And then it was kind of wedged. And then as I shut the door, the tube part, the female part where the two rods come together was sticking out. And just, do you know how to fix interiors? Because it caught the leather. It caught the leather and just shredded it right up the door.
Oh, yeah.
So now this...
Like a tear? Tear all the way through?
Oh,
you could patch it.
Yeah, I need some work done.
Patch it.
I need that fixed because when that trade-in, they're going to hit me hard. I probably could buy one of those panels on eBay.
But probably.
They're gonna be upset.
Be a couple $100.
So what is there? Let's get the details out there. So you're located in?
Camden.
Nice.
Yeah, by the Camden SPCA. Cochrane Business Park. Is right there. There's actually two business parks. I'm with the SPCA at the very back. Apparently, it's the hardest building in there to find. Everyone comes in, goes to the CrossFit joint because everyone's there. Straight back, all the way in the back, building number 6.
Past CrossFit.
Last door. All the way in the back.
Okay.
Last building, last door.
What's the best way? Let's say if I want to set up an appointment, reach out to you through the phone, reach out to you email.
Yeah, phone's always easiest. I can look at the calendar and negotiate the calendar a little better than what online's going to tell. So it can always be reached by phone. The number for it is 302-593-1283.
And we'll put that in the details. Awesome. You don't have like online booking or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, you do have on the website. You can follow whatever package, deal, interior, exterior, or both that you're looking for. There's a book now button. Follow the book now. It gives you the availability for that specific time allotment for your appointment. I actually use a hair salon booking system.
Vigaro.
For detailing. Is that who you use?
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're using?
Get Timely.
Oh, I like it. We were just talking about that on the last podcast. We use a hair salon booking system for the podcast now, too.
Yeah, it works better. The time slot appointments are easier to navigate.
Well, and one thing I noticed about that, and this may be, people may go online and they're like, they'll call me all the time. They're like, I can't get in. Well, if you, once they call me and I say, well, let me look at the book, and then I can make it happen. So if someone is doing that, booking online or working through that, the package that they enjoy, and they kind of get stuck, give you a call,
give me a call.
Assume. Yeah.
Yeah, the numbers usually, I think as you navigate the booking system, my number is on every page there. So just in case you get lost, you can just.
Or if it's saying, look, I can't get you in until October.
Right.
Give me a call, or give you a call. And you,
I can navigate my schedule a little better than online.
Because it's funny, those online booking, if it's off 5 minutes, it's like you're not available.
You're not available at all.
They're like, I've been trying to get in, you're not available. I'm like, I'm very available.
I'm very available. Yeah, there's totally enough time.
So call.
And it's reflectionsautodetailing.net?
.net, correct.
reflectionsautodetailing.net.
www. Every time.
Every time.
There, besides paint correction and glass coating, do you, or ceramic coating, are there other services?
Yeah, so basic interior all the way up to interior restoration type services as far as cleaning goes. We can do so much for them. Odor removal, pet hair removal, exterior washes and waxes. I mean, we do every basic maintenance service all the way up to ceramic coatings and everything in between.
So I know last time we were talking, you were playing around with the idea of doing tint.
Yeah, so I'm still not
sure.
Yeah, I still have a company for that that we use, and they have done excellent for us. We'd be more likely to move into paint protection film than we would be to move into window tinting.
Oh, okay, paint protection film.
Yeah, that would be the... That impact service.
Can you still clean film and buff it and do all that, or no?
Yeah, just... so you don't buff it. They make products now where you can polish it if it gets something on it. The problem with film is it's not chemical resistant. So what we typically will do is with a car with film, we'll ceramic coat over top of it to give it chemical resistance, and then it can be cleaned. It gives it the same chemical properties and hydrophobic properties that the coating would have, but now onto the film. It also brings up the shine and all those kinds of things. So. Yeah, typically it's not typically what we find with our customers are they're doing film and ceramic coating. It's usually sort of a package deal.
What do you think of that film that's just like doing the whole car? You know, like that.
Yeah.
You remember that that DuPont paint that they put on Jeff Gordon's car back in the late 90s, and it was like, you know, it changed color as you move by.
Like the chameleon type of paint.
Yeah, but it was like purple and it changed
purple
to blue.
Purple and green and blue. Yeah,
but now they're putting on these films on these cars that like is chrome or chrome gold.
Sure.
What do you think of those? Do you guys offer that, or do you work with somebody up there does that?
I work with someone who offers it. It's a monster to deal with, and it's very, very very costly.
Very expensive.
Yeah. Chrome can't be, it can't be stretched or pulled, and if it gets a single crease or something in it, it has to be redone.
Oof.
So most people aren't doing it because it's very expensive.
I like the Facebook or the Instagram post. It shows the girl that's just doing it.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to chrome a whole car out real quick. Like, no big deal.
Very expensive. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
You found it.
I found it.
Is that your truck?
Yes.
Wow, look at that.
Dude.
It's like truck porn.
It was mirror finish on
turn
this.
Turn your phone sideways. See if it makes it.
I don't think
Will it change the screen?
A second. No, it will.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look at that finish, man.
Dude, I love that car. I love these. I love these mud flaps.
Yep. They're cool.
Actually,
huh?
I put those on.
Yeah, he did?
Didn't I?
Yeah. He did.
Typical.
Yeah.
Had awesome. The wheels off. It's a good time to go ahead and do it.
Yep.
I love it. I love.
Look at the literally the reflection of the yard in the driveway.
I'm a truck guy. I'm definitely a truck guy, but I owned an F-250 right when remember when the gas price went up for like a gallon up to $4?
Oh, yeah.
I owned an F-250 there. I've been in shock ever since. I'm afraid to get another truck because it was just such a beating.
Yeah. I owned my last truck then, too. The last time I owned a truck was then.
You know, what's interesting about that, I get up to 20, 21 miles per gallon in this.
It's 10-speed transmission. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. So you get...
Please, Jonathan, tell me you're going to rescue my truck and make it look like that again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You will, right?
Oh, it'll be very easy.
Oh, he'll rescue it, all right. For a fee, homie.
But man, oh, man.
Well, look, I love trucks. And I like the Raptors. I like how they kind of squat down a little bit. It looked like they would just come right out of
a little aggressive.
Baja 1000.
Yep.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Thanks for having me.
I hope we can get you some sunshine down there or up there in Wyoming. Because I'm not going to do anything to this car, but I'm just getting ready to finish the lease, and I've got
new lease.
Yeah, I got to find something.
Tesla.
I'm not getting
they
another
lease
Acura.
Porsches, it's fine.
I don't know.
I just showed you a picture of an M5. You can borrow that you can get, and I borrow from you.
That's right.
Let me show you a picture of my wallet.
a Nardo gray frozen wallet.
Yes, that's actual ice on there. Listen, Jonathan, I appreciate it.
Reflections
Auto Detailing. We'll put all that in the description.
Awesome.
We're going to give you a cause of action, or what's it called?
A cause of action. What are we? West Wing?
Yeah. Oh, my favorite show. No, but when we post a podcast, share it with your friends. Awesome. You know, the more people we can get out, you know, the more people will see it or hear this.
All right. And, how about some advertising real quick?
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll do that. So, Thomas David Salon is one of Southern Delaware's premier full-service salons, located in the upscale Painter's Mill Shopping Center in Milton, Delaware. You will be treated to an amazing experience of one of Thomas David's highly trained and super friendly stylists.
Hang in there,
I got
bro.
A cheerleader right over here. There. From a haircut to a color and even waxing, Thomas David's welcoming environment has you covered. Make an appointment, call 302-827-2466. And how do we get a hold of Reflections?
No? Sure. Reach us at 302-593-1283 or book online at the website, reflectionsautodetailing.net.
And we actually have an email. Riho Social Podcast@gmail.com. We love your comments and questions. What's the email address for Reflections?
It's info@reflectionsautodetailing.net.
Awesome.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, brother.
All right, guys. Bye.